Here's Johnny.
Push me for
I'm fine.
Push me for push me for
Yo, what up?
Hey, this is Ghostly Talk.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And we got a lot in store for you. Big, big news.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when you thought it would get completely insane around here, it gets even more insane. We are now officially going to a two-hour format, so all you can shut up now.
Well, everybody has been, like, evidently hammering on Will. They're like, Will, see if they'll do 2 hours. See if they'll do 2 hours.
Which is very flattering.
Yeah.
If you want to hear our voices for 2 hours a week as opposed to one.
I found it hard to believe that people wanted to hear us for 1 hour a week. But well, evidently they, you know, hey.
Really, they're gluttons for punishment. I mean,
yeah, sure. Why not?
So, yeah, we're on a two-hour format. The way we're going to do this, all right, we got it all set up. Me and Will sat down, had a couple of bottles of Jack. No, I'm just kidding.
Why didn't I get in on that? Oh, I drink Diet Pepsi anyway. Yeah.
No, we sat down and talked it over. Of course, we got the phone line going now. We got the phone line hooked up, so we got all this crazy stuff. We're buried in wire. I'm sitting on a thing of wires right now. I don't even have
right.
a chair anymore. but what's going on is we're taking calls, all right? But in order to try to get everybody in and keep some bit of, like, control here, we're going to have them on the bottom of every hour, well, the two
right.
hours we play. So, for example, 7 o'clock right now, we just started off this glorious
yep, 7
show.
7 o'clock Eastern time.
So that means in a half an hour,
we're going to take some calls.
Exactly.
If anybody calls.
If anybody calls.
Yeah.
If anybody feels like calling.
Yeah. Speaking of which, write this down.
Oh, yeah.
The Ghostly Talk phone number is, what is it, 1-888-520-1969.
That's 1-888-520-1969.
Oh, well, thank you, Scott.
That's my best push.
And,
but,
and,
so, yeah.
Don't call yet. Call,
yeah, take
call
it easy
and,
on us.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's only one line, so if somebody is already ringing through, even if they're not on the air, someone's ringing through, you're going to get a busy signal.
You're going to get a busy signal, so sorry. I mean, we don't have a call queue yet.
Yeah, it's just one line coming into the studio, and you'll either be on the air or you won't.
Yeah, so we're going to try to get everybody in the best we can.
Yeah.
If you can't get through, don't get mad at us. We can only afford one line right now. So.
Yeah, because Ghostly Talk is on zero-point radio with zero budget.
Yeah,
so
hey,
there you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, first thing we want to talk about today. There is this book, me and you, well, you discovered, and then, I mean, I went, yay, I know that book. There's this book by Larry Kettelkamp.
Yes.
It's an old book.
It is. It's like a scholastic book of some kind.
It's a complete scholastic book. I'm going to get that.
You know, like, Weekly Reader. It's a Weekly Reader book. That's what it is.
This thing's got a copyright on it of 1969.
Yeah.
So it's an older book. Now, real brief. I got to talk
it's
about it.
It's called Haunted Houses.
It's called Haunted Houses, yeah.
By Larry Kettelkamp.
By Larry Kettelkamp. Very simple. It's only about, this book is only, let's see here, 93 pages long, okay? It's simple, it's short, but it's got some amazing information in it. Now, the night you introduced this book to me, we were going out ghost hunting.
Yeah.
And you're like, yo, Scott, yo, what's up? Yo, what's up, man? Yo.
That's how I show up in my ride.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Doug's like, I got this really cool book you should check out. and I looked at the cover, and my...
You immediately knew it.
Freaked out.
Yeah.
I actually recited the first couple...
I'm scared of that book.
I hated this book when I was a kid. Story is when I was a child, about 10 or 11 years old, I was riding around on my bike being a kid, and I hit this garage sale. Because I had a few quarters in my pocket. You know, I'm like, I'm going to go buy something.
Yeah.
I got the cash, right?
Yeah.
So I cruise up to this, you know, this garage sale, and I start going through the books. And I come across the same exact book.
Only the one with the spine.
Yeah, it's a different edition. It's a different pressing.
But it's the same,
book. Haunted Houses by Larry Kettelkamp. As a child, I read this book cover to cover more times than I can count. And this book scared the hell out of me because I was just a little kid.
Well, even the picture on the cover. The picture on the cover starts with, I mean, you look at the picture on the cover, that's the tulip staircase.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's got the ghouls or demons or whatever they are, you know, dragging themselves up the staircase. So you see their robes and stuff like that in ghostly form. Mm-hmm. It's a famous photo of the tulip staircase. And, dang.
Yeah.
I mean, it starts with a picture of the tulip staircase.
I mean, this book really covers, like, all the classic, most famous haunt. Tower of London. I gotta go through it again. I haven't read it in a number of years.
Oh, everything.
Tower of London, Haunted Rectory.
Oh, yeah, that's the Borley Rectory.
Yeah. Manor House Ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
California Ghosts. That's just a whole different story.
It's
not a very famous one. But,
it is. It's about what, not L. McPherson. Why am I thinking that? It's from a long time ago. But that's about a very famous actress and her husband. And they had moved in, and the chairs around the kitchen table, or, you know, the dining table, would move about and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but it's a very famous actress that...
Elke Summer.
That's
Elke Summer is her name.
Yeah, and it's a famous thing, but it's not reported on the internet a whole lot.
Now, the amazing thing about this book is that it's so short. It's only 93 pages long, and the print's huge. This is like, if you, in computer terms, this would be about 15-point,
yeah.
15-point Times New Roman this book is composed of.
Yeah, it's so
okay,
I...
Okay, no bold, nothing like that, but just a 15-point Times New Roman.
Yeah.
Okay? So it reads like, zoom!
Yeah.
It reads
You can read
fast,
through it just really
but
quick.
But the content...
It's amazing.
This guy managed to encompass stuff I've seen people write novels on.
Mm-hmm.
And 93 pages.
Yeah, he gives a fantastic summary of each story, and then of course
the
second part of it is about poltergeist.
Yeah,
and which is fantastic. And then after that, he goes into some theories about what ghosts are and what ghosts aren't, and stuff like that.
This book literally introduced me into the field of the paranormal. It really did.
It
was the book that got me into it.
And it is. And I have to say, when we sat in your car at the time, it was your brand new car. I opened up the page, and you're like, oh, wait, let me see if I remember it. And he just started quoting.
It was the year 1864. A uniformed guard was standing by his post in front of the famous Tower of London.
And that's exactly how it started. I was like reading it word for word. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
I've read that book.
You must have read that 8 billion times.
Yeah, so if you're interested in this book at all, I mean, it's still in circulation. I actually checked it out last night, and it's still in circulation. It is being sold if you want to order it. It's only like a brand new copy. I think it was like $12. It's a little pricey, I think, for a 93-page book. But I'm telling you right now, take it from us, the content in this book is just phenomenal. It really is.
Yeah.
It's got some very interesting also. Towards the end of the book, it goes into some of Mr. Kettelkamp's theories himself, which Doug has been beating me over the head to talk about.
Yeah, I want to talk about some of them. The first, because the very last chapter...
Uh-huh.
Is you know, why, what's it even called? Let's see. Explaining Ghosts and Poltergeists.
Okay.
Which, of course, is what we try to do here on Ghostly Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got several headings. There's only three headings.
Uh-huh.
Memories in Space. Well, that's the, you know, that's the classic haunting. You know, the thing repeating itself
a residual
over
haunting,
and over.
Yes.
Yeah, and what he talks about is how... It's the dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's how many dimensions are there? Four? There's length, width, height, time, and then he's like, what if there are more dimensions?
Yeah.
And time is more of a variable than a fixed, you know, fixed flowing thing.
Which I don't mean to interrupt you, but I remember carrying this book with me everywhere as a kid.
Yeah.
And I took it to Tennessee when I went to visit my grandparents. And I remember the conversation I had in my grandmother's front room, talking to my grandmother Lambert about this. And we sat and discussed this book about dimensions, about an outside dimension. I mean, really, people, this book is so cool. It really had an effect on me personally.
Yeah, and it does. It makes you think. It makes you think about
It's a spoon-fed thing. It really gives you a good taste of what's going on out there. And it's an older book, too. It's so amazing about it. But it's easy to take down. You don't have a ton of reading to do. It just really puts it right in your face. There's no beating around the bush at all.
Right. Because there's no room in there to beat around the bush. I mean, this is like...
He flies right through it.
We could probably read it in the half hour that we're that we're talking about it. So he's saying, you know, what if, you know... he starts it out with, physicists and mathematicians are aware that reality is much larger than was formerly supposed. And then he goes on about that. And he talks about the dimension, you know, the different dimensions. And so he's thinking, or what he's trying to say is that when... You know, the recurring ghosts, the ones that aren't really conscious, the ones that are more like replays over and over and over again, the classic haunting kind of thing, you know, the staircases and et cetera, that it's just a function of dimensionality, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, he actually has some little diagrams in there for you, too, to look at if you buy the book.
Yeah.
There is, we've discussed it on this show, about this outer world that may be around us everywhere. And we're not even aware of it, but there could be a whole different world around us, and they could not be aware of us either. As far as the residual haunting goes, we've talked about that billions of times on this show. It's just something that happens over and over again. At this time at 12 o'clock on top of this bridge, this person will walk over and moon everybody. I mean, that's
like ghostly talk. It just happens over and over again. Yeah, but yeah, he talks about also. There's actually, and this is one of the things that really sticks in my craw. What's a craw? But anyway.
I don't want to know.
Yeah, I know. Whatever it is, it sticks there. Anyway, it's, he calls his theory or his, you know, the heading of where he talks about it is separation of consciousness.
Okay.
And the example he gives is actually a very famous example or a very famous, like, thing. But I have a feeling it's more of a, urban legend kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'd love to know his sources on this because what happens is it's about this lady. It says an elderly lady in England.
Yeah.
She was dreaming at night that she was walking around the rooms of an old country house, and she had this recurring dream. Well, she didn't know this, but her husband was arranging their vacation.
Yeah,
and their vacation was going to be at this place in Scotland, and so they show up, and she recognizes the place immediately as the place from her dream.
Yeah.
Well, they pull up and they knock on the door, and the landlords or whatever show up and open the door, and they look at her and they just get like all pale white. They're like, they go, "You look like you've seen a ghost." Well, that lady is the ghost that haunts this house.
Oh my God!
So what they're saying is that she had been dreaming of this place, and
her consciousness separated from her body while she was sleeping.
Yeah, like an out of body experience, and she appeared to them as a ghost, but she thought she was dreaming and just wandering around this place.
Could you imagine that? If you're like just you're a bellhop, you carry luggage for a living, which I heard that makes that you actually make pretty good money doing that.
Yeah.
You're chilling, you're doing your job, and this car pulls up, and you've heard all the stories. You may have even seen it yourself. But a door opens, and this lady steps out, and it's like,
oh my gosh, I've seen her, or her
ghost
wandering
hotel,
around
yeah.
the hotel, or well, in this case, an old country house. But I've heard the problem with that story.
Yeah.
And I really like the story. I'd love to know its source because I heard that same story in connection with a Detroit house.
Okay.
So because the Haunted Basement Studios is in Michigan, Detroit, and so we study a lot of Michigan-related phenomena. And the story that I heard was the husband was looking for a house to move into and all this kind of stuff, and then they go to view a house.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife's like, I've been here before. I know this house. Look, and they're wandering around with the real estate agent. Mm-hmm. And then the family was either in a different room or comes home or something like that, and they just, like, run away.
Uh-huh.
And they, you know, they explained later that that lady that was looking at the house was the ghost that haunts their house.
Yeah. Now, this is encompassing a lot of stuff, though, this particular theory he discusses, because we're talking about the possibility this could explain sightings right here.
Right. I mean, so what when you get deeper into it, because he doesn't have time in the book or pages in the book to get deeper into it. When you get deeper into it, you're talking about out-of-body experiences. You're talking about, you know, separation of consciousness, which is what he even titles it, where your consciousness is going to go out and about on its own.
Mm.
In her case, when she was sleeping.
But have we all done this before? Have we all done this before?
Have we? That's a good question.
Have we all done this before where we go to sleep? I had goofy dreams myself. I have goofy dreams.
I do, too.
Football elephants with pink dots running around with lion's tails.
That wasn't that was after the bar. That one night. That wasn't the dream.
Yeah.
But
no,
those were real. No. I have very intricate, developed dreams with all kinds of, you know, stuff.
Yeah, we have a whole show on that, actually, like in the archives.
Yeah, that's true. And
plug
the archives. www.ghostlytalk.com.
No, but have we all done this, though? Really? All joking aside.
Well, I have a question.
Okay.
Have you ever gone into a place and felt like you've been there before?
Well, that's what I was going to talk about, too.
Deja vu.
We're talking about deja vu here, too. This covers a lot of stuff where, I have done that. I have not only places themselves, but situations. I don't know how else to describe, but situations where, you know, I'm sitting somewhere that I'm familiar with, that I've been with, you know, let's say work, for example. This happened to me actually a couple weeks ago. I was sitting at work at my desk just dwindling my life away, and I look, and I just kind of looked up for a second and said, whoa, I feel right now, at this time in space, I feel like I have been in this exact same situation before. I can't really put my finger on it, but I just had this feeling that went through my whole body that the lighting in the office, because it was dark outside, but it was, you know, my life sucks and I work from, you know, dark to dark.
After dark. Yeah.
And,
me too.
But I mean, the way the office was lit up, as opposed, you know, you have windows and it's light outside because it's daytime and you have the lights on still. It looks a certain way, but at nighttime, it's got a warmer feel.
Right.
And that warmness I felt. And just the quiet, the tension in the air, because it was so quiet. You're in an office. Everybody hates life there. So, you know, but I felt all this go through me. I consider that an experience of deja vu right there.
Oh, yeah.
But that it goes back to what we were talking about a second ago, though. What's up with this? Have we all done this at one time? Completely involuntary. I mean, have we done it without even knowing it? I mean, do we do this nightly? Or do we do this at a certain time when the planets are aligned? I don't know. But, I mean, is there something we could possibly explain this with? Have I been to England and I don't know it? Have I been to Egypt where I've been wanting to go to forever?
But maybe you, like, every other night, you might be there.
I might be right in the Great Pyramid where
I've
been wanting to be for years.
They're like, oh, my God, it's a ghost.
Yeah, I could be the ghost of the Great Pyramid for all I know right now. Someday when I finally get my crap together and get out there, they might do that. Some guy come riding by on his camel and go,
yeah. And then run away.
And then, like, chase me with a sword or something. I don't know. I mean, think about this, people. That's a really interesting point he brought up. So that might be something for you guys to ponder on and call in with.
Yeah, I love that. And then there's his third and last thing that he talks about in his, like, wrap-up chapter is energy of the mind. And that's because part of the book is done about poltergeists.
Yeah.
And so he talks about, you know, how it could be, you know, the kid, or, you know, usually it's a young adult,
uh-huh,
either male or female, going through their, you know, changes of growing up.
Yeah.
And how they may try to be calling out subconsciously. Yeah. And so therefore things like if a globe tips over and falls upside down, it might be his world or her world is turning upside down.
Okay, yeah.
You know, it might be something like that. And it might be actually the power of mind over matter.
Mm-hmm.
So is the mind powerful enough to affect, you know,
inanimate objects?
Yeah. So who knows?
We've delved into that countless times here also, like, oh, and there's always the theory that we only use, what, 15% of our brain?
Right.
What's going on with the other 85%? What's up with that?
Right. So he, oh, gosh. I don't know. It's so, like, easy to read. Yeah, and also he talks about, especially one of them, whenever their life goes through an upheaval, it seems like that also seems to trigger these poltergeist kind of things. But he doesn't say that, you know, it's really cool because even back in 1969, he does not draw a parallel between poltergeists and ghosts. He seems to think it's from the kids or from, you know, some influence of a living person.
Adolescent energy. So
yeah, as opposed to, like, an evil entity trying to, you know, do something.
Well, unfortunately, Hollywood has given it that, the word poltergeist now.
From the poltergeist
from the movie. Which, I mean,
yeah.
The great movies, don't get me wrong, I love those films. But when you say the word poltergeist now, it just has that kind of ring where people are like, ugh, evil,
yeah.
Skulls coming out of closets, oh, God, no, monsters, trees eating me. No, it isn't about that.
Oh, wait, let me try it. This house is clean. Okay, it didn't work out. Never mind. Zelda, call me. Zelda, call me.
we're dead. She's going to put a curse on us right now.
Oh, no.
No, but yeah, he does discuss that. And he makes a clear line between the two.
Yeah, the poltergeists are not ghosts and vice versa, necessarily.
We've talked about poltergeists also on this show. We'll talk about it more for you.
Well, undoubtedly. Hopefully people will bring it up. Yeah.
I mean, there's so many ways to look at a poltergeist as far as, like, the whole, like, the real thing. Like, not the movie, the real thing.
Right.
Okay. Could it be just energy of the mind, like Mr. Kettlecamp's talking about? Could it be energy of the mind? I mean, science has pointed it in that direction. True science research has pointed it in that direction.
Right,
where
the research, like, the ASPR or whatever it is, and,
yeah.
You know, the different places that do the parapsychological
mm-hmm.
studies,
yeah.
they tend to think that, you know, the mind can affect matter and other things in our realm.
Well, have you been so mad in your life that, oh, I know I have, but have you ever gotten so mad that you literally felt your body, like, kind of shift? Like, you literally were like, okay, you're looking at me like, no.
No, I don't think I've gotten that mad.
I know I have been so mad when I was younger, man. I'm not mad anymore. I don't get mad. I don't get that mad anymore. I can't. I'll die if I do. But I know there's times where I've gotten so angry about something that I literally felt my body, like, I'm talking to the point where I'm clenching my teeth. I'm just like, and I could literally feel my body kind of shift. Not as in the body physically shifting, but I felt something inside me just kind of like, boom, like that. I kind of just jerk a little bit. And that would kind of calm me down. But has anybody else out there felt that, where you've just gotten so mad? But what I'm getting at is...
Well, I've gotten so sad or emotional that I felt like I've, you know, crawled into myself.
Explain.
Well, like when someone dies, or my pets, when my pets die.
Oh, yeah, man.
I've just felt like I was, you know, in a fetal position within my body. You know, I'm like sitting on the couch for real or whatever,
yeah.
But I felt like I, you know, just totally withdrew into myself and, you know, couldn't. Even with eyes open,
mm-hmm.
you know, you don't see what's in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You're paying attention internally.
Oh, God,
and,
yes.
And I was completely inside.
I've done that where I've been so down.
Yeah.
I've been so down on myself or so sad or so upset about a situation that literally I'd get in my car to leave home, you know, go home from work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gee, does work trigger some of those? Yeah.
Well, there you go, yeah. But I'd get in my car to, like, leave for, you know, go home finally. And I'd get home and be like, what happened? I mean, literally, I would phase out to that point where my body just kind of like went into autopilot.
Yeah, I've done that too.
And it's like, because I was in a complete altered state of consciousness, it seemed.
Yeah.
Because when I got home, I got out of the car, I'm just like,
how did I get home? What? Yeah.
I mean, I remember I drove home.
Yeah, you remember it, but you didn't, there was no paying attention to it.
And there's impressions of the road and maybe something I saw, but the act of driving home itself where I'm focused on the road and I'm focused on the cars around me just isn't there anymore.
Right.
I mean, that's a serious emotional thing right there you're dealing with.
Yeah, you're paying attention internally instead of externally.
Yeah.
You just let your body deal with whatever it
is. Fortunately, we can't do that at will. It takes extreme emotions like that, it seems,
yeah,
like, to bring that out in a person a lot of times.
Although maybe if you practice, like with that meditation and stuff, you might be able to then internalize yourself again.
Exactly, exactly. So, yeah, think about that, though, people. This book covers a lot. I mean, in 93 pages, me and Doug were both just in awe of how well this book was written. And it's so easy. It's such a fun book. Wham! You're done. I mean, in an hour, you can blow through this book.
I'm glad I found it again because I have wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, it's a great book.
And it is, and it brings up, like, you know, the overview of ghosts,
yeah,
the overview of poltergeists. And it gives some really, you know, spine-chilling tales,
yeah,
you know, within it.
Yeah, so Larry Kettlecamp. Larry Kettlecamp's the name. Okay, his last name is Kettlekamp.
Yeah,
haunted houses. Check it out. We'll be right back with some phone calls for you people.
Call us 1-888-520-1969.
We'll be right back.
Ghost hunting, my ethereal anti-drug.
It's paranormally scientific. It's ghost talk.
So we're back. We're talking about haunted houses.
Yeah, we were talking
Kettlecamp.
About haunted houses, that book, and Larry Kettlecamp's book.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
The things that were in this book, that's weird. I mean, the book has just floored us.
Yeah.
It really did. I mean, me and Doug have both read just, God, how many books have we read?
I know.
I mean, on the paranormal alone. I have never found a book that was just this short that really got across to the point.
And did all that stuff.
Yeah.
I know. It like, really enthralls me. I want to do some shout-outs.
Okay.
I hear the folks at Soul Java.
Yeah.
They listen to Ghostly Talk.
Okay.
They were going to call tonight, too.
Oh, really?
I wonder if they're on the phones.
I don't know. It's crazy.
Well, if you're not, call 1-888-520-1969.
Uh-huh.
What else? The Soul Java folks. I want to say hey to Kyle, because I haven't seen him in a while. He's in Windsor. He does the Windsor Ghost Hunter Society. And Kyle is, like, very active on all kinds of message boards throughout the Internet. And he has his own, a couple of his own, but I don't get there enough. Ooh, I hear ticking.
Oh, wow. Oh wow. Okay, just doing a test on the phone line. Yeah, so
cool.
Yeah, everybody's, we got so much feedback though. As far as the 2-hour format goes, I mean, I couldn't believe how many people wanted to do 2 hours.
I know.
It blows me away.
It's amazing. Is that off now?
Yeah.
We're just doing some quick little technical adjustments because that's
per
part
usual.
Of, that's part of Ghostly Talk.
Per usual.
Yeah.
So,
So I want to say a hi to Kyle, hi to Soul Java, and there were some other folks who I promised to do a shout out to.
Uh-huh.
I forgot.
Well, I'm gonna give it. You know what? I gotta do.
What?
Well, for the locals here in Michigan.
Yeah.
MFPS, my band is playing this coming Friday.
Oh, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
At the Royal Oak.
Royal Oak Music Theater.
Music Theater.
Royal
yeah.
Oak Music Theater. Yeah, that's gonna be doors open at 8:00. Three bands. MFPS, Motown Rage, and Tempered. three, those guys are just killer. Well, both those bands just rock. So if you guys get nothing going on Friday night, come out and check us out. I'm the chunky bass player from MFPS. Just feel free to say hi if you want. And go, hey, you're that guy from Ghostly Talk. Well, you suck. I'll let you know. So, yeah, but definitely, though, going back, though, please, people, check out this book. It's good.
I also want to say ZeroPointRadio.
Yeah.
.com has been a phenomenal place. They've got the high-rate server, the low-rate server. RFV has really put together a phenomenal network of folks.
Uh-huh.
I want to get Art and Rob from WSRS uh-huh. on the show eventually through the magic of telephone lines.
Yeah.
So that we can interview Art and Rob of WSRS because that's cool. Because we had talked to Rez Miranda last week.
Okay.
So I want to get Art and Rob. I'd love to have Rich call in. He does Crumbs from the Cosmic Cookie. That would be so cool. And all that kind of, Encounters is now broadcast, from what I understand, Lone Feathers Encounters is now broadcast on the Lou Gentile program on his streams. So therefore, because it's broadcast through Lou Gentile's stream, it gets picked up by Zero Point Radio as well. So it's no longer just on ZPR. It's on Lou Gentile and therefore ZPR.
Okay.
So yeah, so we got a lot of cool stuff on Zero Point Radio. So.
Yeah, we gotta give those guys big props because they really are hooking the show up right now, and they're introducing us to a whole new audience, which is just phenomenal for us. We never really thought we would be taking it this far, honestly. I mean, that we'd actually be doing goofy stuff like this.
Oh, I know. What I want to talk about, too, before we start taking callers, is I want to talk about famous people.
Okay.
Famous people in the parapsychology world.
Okay.
And right now I can't think of any. Oh, yeah, I can.
All right.
There's, of course, Lauren Coleman. Not really parapsychology. Lauren Coleman is a cryptozoologist. And he does the top 20 cryptozoology stories of the year. He did one last year, and then he did one this year. And if you go to his site, www.laurencoleman.com, LaurenColeman.
I see a blinking light here.
Yeah?
It was blinking.
Well, perhaps they hung up. Anyway, they don't want to talk about cryptozoology.
Whoever it was, call in.
Yeah. But anyway, LaurenColeman.com has the top 20 cryptozoology stories of the year. Michigan got mentioned. And the reason I'm always harping on Michigan is because, we're in Michigan. Michigan actually got mentioned. They had some big cats, cited, the out-of-place cats and
cats?
Stuff. Cats. Yeah.
As in meow?
Meow cats. Well, these are more like roar cats. And, panthers and stuff like that. Although I think they didn't think it was panthers. It was something else. But Michigan got a mention. Of course, one of the biggest stories. Oh, we were, I think, fifth or sixth.
Fifth or sixth?
We were in the top ten of the top 20. Yeah, Michigan was. And then, of course, there's the colocanth. Those little fish thing from archaic times.
Okay.
Yeah. The whales, there's some kind of new beaked whale or something out in Japan.
A beaked whale?
Yeah, I'm doing all this from memory, so I should have probably printed it out. Yeah. There's also some mention of a monster. There's a lot of mention about monkey men, in India.
Okay.
I think we talked about that on an earlier Ghostly Talk. And there's mention from... what was the other thing that was so phenomenal? Dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs?
There's actually, they're talking about this river dinosaur. It's like a river dinosaur.
What do we got here?
All right. Let's see who's on the line.
Ghostly Talk.
Hello, this is Robert from Soul Java.
Oh, hey.
Oh, Soul Java. I was just talking about you guys.
No, well, we were listening to the show. We had to get offline so we could call.
Oh, man. Sorry about that.
You got to get cable, man. or DSL. Well, no, you need a phone line for DSL,
well,
too.
Well, Soul Java, though, they're a Michigan-based, paranormal group.
Okay.
Right.
But they're, not near a big city, from what I understand.
Where are you guys at?
We're about an hour north or 45 minutes north of Grand Rapids and about a half hour east or 45 minutes from Muskegon. So we're a ways away from anywhere halfway decently sized.
Yeah, so they're in like nothing. Have you seen the big cats that made the that made Lauren Coleman's top 20 cryptozoology list?
No.
No. Okay. I wonder. Somebody must have reported them. So
How long has Soul Java actually been together, as far as like an organized group goes?
How long have we been together? Probably since the middle. We started out the middle of last year. And then as soon as we went online with the Tripod site, it just took off from there. And then for right now, we got our own site up now and everything.
Well, that's probably because I don't know who does your website, but it's phenomenal.
Why don't you give us, really?
Well, whoa, we're talking to the webmaster of Soul Java's site.
Yep. Why don't you give us the URL?
Yeah, what is your URL now?
It is http://www.souljava, one word, dash spiritcafe.com.
Okay. Definitely cool. People check that out. Great, great site.
Oh, it's an awesome site.
Very much.
Yeah.
Killer site.
And you guys are, what are you planning for the summer? What are your big summer hunts? Because here in Michigan, for those people not, you know, in the United States, it's freezing.
Yeah.
It's like really cold here, so
it's
we
really
try.
Cold, and we almost got a foot of snow out there today.
You no way.
Oh, yeah. Grand Rapids.
Nearby
Grand Rapids.
By Grand Rapids. You guys have snow.
Oh yeah. Today, yesterday, it snowed all day long, and we probably got just under a foot right now.
Yeah. Well.
No way.
The snow isn't really the bad part, if you ask me. It's just the bitter cold.
Yeah, and believe it or not, it was snowing and it was 15 degrees, which is unusual.
Which is just pretty much that borderline's not pathetic for as far as weather goes. That's just, no, that's when you like, bag, you pack it up and you go in the house and you watch TV all day.
Yeah, and then the wind chill around.
You sit on the internet.
Yeah, thank heaven.
Yeah, there you go.
What did people do before the internet? That's what I need.
You know what? My life was a blur before the internet. Really, it was like, I think it was TV and like Black Sabbath. And
yeah,
that was it.
And
that was
it.
Yeah.
So what is Soul Java doing this summer? Because have you started planning all your hunts and stuff?
Yeah, we have them up on the site. We have an entire list on, I can't remember the name of the page. Jeez. In the crypt, where we have the list of the things we've got planned for the summer. We're actually going to go to Ohio. We're planning a trip to Ohio for Mansfield Prison.
Well, we've been there.
We've been there twice.
Yeah, Scott and I have been to OSI.
Have you been there before?
No, we have not been yet.
Oh.
What day are you going?
We're really excited. No, we're setting up all the arrangements now for the people there.
Why don't you hit me and Doug with an email?
I can do that.
When you do that, because we might all end up going out there together, because I know we were planning on going back again this year. Probably.
Oh, definitely.
The people down there, are super cool. Mansfield Reformatory is a great place to go and hang out at for a night. But definitely hit us with an email on that, because we might end up like hopping on your back and going down there, you know?
Yeah, we can meet up like somewhere in the middle and then head down, because that OSR is phenomenal.
The people there, Dr. Ken's a great guy. He's a good guy to listen to. The security there. Who was our friend we met down there?
Oh, James? No. Oh, my God.
Larry.
We talked to
Larry?
Him. Larry. We talked to him for 2 hours.
He's probably listening right now. He's like, I can't remember my name. But,
so
yeah,
the
people down there are so helpful. They're willing to walk you through anywhere you want. I mean, if we all go together, you'll know what's up.
That's what we did wrong the first time. So we can give you hints and tips, too.
That would be great.
One of the things we did wrong the first time is we just, like, you know, okay, it's 8 o'clock, everybody, you know, go on in. And we just, like, and we barreled right in. Well, where we really learned a whole lot of stuff was through listening to, you know, Dr. Ken gave a little seminar.
Yeah.
We listened to that. That was phenomenal. And then that was what we did the second time. Then the second time also we talked outside with the people who are, you know, they're the guides.
The guides, yeah. They call them like the guides, basically.
Yeah, and we talked with them at great length and about what they've seen, the hot spots they've seen, what's hot tonight, because as they're wandering through, they hear things and you know, hear things from other people. So we talked to the guides, and we actually got a more in-depth, you know, overview of what goes on at MSR.
For most of the security.
What's that?
For most of the security.
Well, yeah, they're like security / guides.
Yeah, because if you're in there drinking and carousing and partying, they drag you.
Yeah, they take you out by your hair and beat you in the parking lot.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that. No, they don't do that. Professional, very professional. Everything's well organized. Definitely get with us on
right now. We're in the works of actually purchasing a haunted house and setting up a 24-hour webcam and actually making it a cafe.
You guys are buying a house?
Yeah, there's a haunted house. The ongoing story that we have online right now for Whiskey Wood Hill is an actual house that we're looking at restoring into a, making it a, what's the word I'm looking for? Historical site.
Historical site? Yeah, okay.
And putting up a 24-hour webcam in this house where all these crazy things went on.
Wow.
And we're looking into that right now. We've got the backing of the owner. We've got a construction group ready to go. We're looking at putting that up and actually starting an actual cafe.
Well, you know, if Nicole can't, Nicole of WMGHS, Western Michigan Ghost Hunter Society.
Yeah.
If the, I don't know if they're doing Felt Mansion this year. I haven't seen any dates yet.
Yeah.
If they're not going to be doing Felt Mansion, your Spirit Cafe would probably become the destination for Western Michigan.
Yeah, definitely.
Undoubtedly.
And it sounds like you guys are putting a lot of time and money into this, too, so.
More money than we put into Ghost Cigar.
I think we're still under $100, man. I think we're still under $100
no,
after a year.
I think that last wheelbarrow of cables put us
just over $100.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the amount of research that we've put into this place and all the different things that we've heard about it, it's almost worth it. I mean, the house was built in, what, 1820, and it's been unoccupied. It's been unoccupied since 1863, and it's been unoccupied for over 50 years.
Wow.
And this is called what, Whiskey Hill?
Wood Hill. And you have to read the story online to figure out why it says Whiskey Wood Hill.
Oh, okay. That's too cool. Oh, my gosh.
Well, that sounds like a great thing you guys are doing out there. Definitely keep us posted on that.
Well, we're going to hone in on that somehow.
Yeah, we're going to have to
if they
put the radar
up there, we're going to be, like, out there.
Yeah, we're going to have to come out there and hang out with you
guys.
Oh,
yeah.
That sounds this was the one that Will was actually trying to convince me to break into.
Will's our engineer, by the way.
Yeah, Will's our sound engineer. He's here in the studio listening.
Laughing hysterically right now.
Probably. But yeah, the so you ended up talking to the owner.
Yes. So we found the owner. There's a phone number on the outside of the building that says, if you see anybody breaking in, call this number. And we actually called the number.
There's nobody broken in right now, but we want to buy it.
Yeah,
what do you
think? What's up with that? Yeah.
We want to put our number on there now. Oh, well, that sounds really great, though.
Yeah, go erase that number and put 1-888-520-1969. And then we'll just talk to all the people who are, you know, who are witnessing break-ins into the
We'll just have like a 24-hour phone line
going.
Sure,
why not?
We'll take calls, and whatever the coolest ones are, we'll broadcast them, and we'll go from there.
Dang, you guys are doing all kinds of stuff.
The last time we were out there, we stopped and left a tape in the basement. There's a hole that you can drop a tape into.
Okay.
And we've got, what, almost 2 hours of someone saying, it's cold down here, let me out. A whole bunch of crazy things going on inside the house while no one was there. I mean, we
just dropped a recorder in one of the holes in the hot wall. You said in the house itself.
Yeah.
And you picked up EVP and stuff like that, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
What kind of recorder did you use?
We're using regular microcassette.
Okay. Did you use an external mic, or did you just tossed it down there, right?
It's an external mic. You dropped the mic down the hole.
Okay. All right. Dang.
Oh, my gosh. All right, so when are we hooking up?
Yeah, when are we getting together?
I know you and MGB are planning on stuff, right, this summer?
Yes. Well, we're actually looking forward to a trip with you guys for Ipsy.
Oh, awesome.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Well, cool. so that
is actually one of the things on our side. I think we were working with Will on getting some information from you guys to put up on our site here on some of the research that you guys have done courtesy of NGB.
Okay. Oh, that'd be cool.
Excellent.
We should hook one of them up into the research forum of MGB's site.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
Or is one of them already in there?
Julie's in there.
Yeah,
okay.
Julie's in.
Oh, okay, cool.
All right. We already got a couple.
Julie is the brains behind everything. She's the founder and my wife, and she's put a lot of work into this, and I've put a lot of freaking money into it. So.
Well, there you go,
that's
man.
Awesome.
I mean,
that's
so great. Definitely get a hold of us on that, and also on Mansfield, because we might end up going out there with you guys this summer whenever they post the new dates up.
Well, there's a couple other things we're doing too. We're doing a couple camping excursions this year.
Yeah.
We're going down to we're going to try and work in West Virginia Penitentiary.
Okay.
So I mean, there's going to be a lot of stuff that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys are interested on, you know, in any of it, just let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
Absolutely.
Excellent. We're going to let you go, though. I think we got a couple more calls floating in right now.
Well, there's probably people getting busy signals.
Yeah. So
yeah.
We're
but you know, you're welcome to call anytime.
Call anytime, man.
Great. Thank you guys very much.
You guys
cool.
Take it easy.
Great
right?
show.
Thank awesome. You very much.
Thanks.
Take
bye.
It easy. Bye-bye.
Oh, that was awesome.
That was awesome.
Soul
Java. Check these guys out. Obviously,
oh,
I mean, firsthand right there.
Yeah.
These guys got it going on out there.
Well, and their website, www.souljava-spiritcafe.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal website.
It's visually pleasing, too, which is something, you know.
Yeah.
Fortunately, when you're snob web builders like me and Doug, sometimes it's like, well, yeah, there's a new site out there. Let's check it out. So you go to it, and you're like, okay,
But not with
there's
theirs.
A picture of a ghost.
Yeah, but not with theirs. Theirs
no,
is just
beautiful.
A, there's
beautiful.
The whole interactive experience. You
yeah,
know?
And definitely Mansfield was brought up,
oh,
which
yeah.
we just rave about. We rave about that place. We just think that place.
I
is,
yeah, I can't say enough about
yeah,
Mansfield.
Yeah, that place is just off the wall, man.
What is this? OSRP? No. P?
Oh man.
MRPS.org.
www.mrps.org.
That's Mansfield Reformatory Preservation Society.
Uh-huh.
And their dates are up for 2003.
Are they up?
Yeah.
I haven't been there. I
They've already put up their dates.
Because I plan on going there again this year. That's just a great place to go to. It's a fun drive down there.
I think they're not doing a March hunt. Remember, we went like the last weekend of March.
My
last
God.
Week. It was freezing.
Picture this, people. We how many layers did each of us have?
Oh, five. Six, I don't know, of clothes. Oh, my God!
But really, when we got in there, we were expecting to, like, freeze solid when we got in there.
But it wasn't so bad inside.
No. No. We got in there, and the wind was dead. So that takes, like, about 10 degrees.
Yeah.
It gives you about 10 degrees right there. So at one point, I ended up just, like, taking my gloves off going, you know, this isn't so bad, guys.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as we
thought. Let's trip down here a little bit. I can't fit through the doors with all these layers. It's not working, man.
But, yeah, it worked. That was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I had so much fun there. We have to go back there.
Yeah. Say hi to Monica and,
oh,
and
yeah.
Dr. Ken and everybody out there. We haven't talked to those guys in a while. Definitely drop us a line. Say hi. We'll be coming out, I guess, with the Soul Java people now.
Oh, I hope so.
Which would be very cool.
That would be awesome.
But you were talking about...
Famous people. I should have asked Mark from Soul Java who his most famous... That's what we're going to do. Other callers, we're going to say... Who's your famous, you know, who's your famous person?
Okay.
Your famous parapsychological person.
All right.
I want to talk about the amazing Randy.
The amazing Randy.
Yeah, he's like the anti-parapsychological person.
What circus is he part of?
He's a very famous skeptic. He's the one with the $1 million reward.
Yes,
yeah.
This guy.
That floated about the MGB boards. He offered $1 million, I don't know if it's still current, but... He was offering $1 million reward for anybody who could prove in his laboratory, on his terms, you know, in a scientific laboratory, on
yeah.
scientific terms,
uh-huh.
The existence of anything parapsychological.
Okay.
So, yeah, or anything.
So we're going for it because
Yeah, I'm working on it.
I need to buy a house here.
Yeah, $1 million, they could buy, you know, a modest house in West Bloomfield. Or a really fantastic house in Fraser.
Okay, if you live in Michigan, if you hear the word West Bloomfield, you're like, no, I can't afford a house there.
No.
It's very expensive.
People can't, but rich people can, yeah.
And the amazing Randy, how long has he had that going?
Oh, man, forever. The last I heard, he was trying to get Sylvia Brown. There's another famous, yeah, name dropping. Hey, Sylvia Brown, famous... psychic,
uh-huh.
You know, psychic to the stars kind of person. I think she was the psychic for Nancy Reagan.
She's been with everybody.
Yeah,
she's worked with everybody. What are you guys laughing about?
Hey, we're not running through the vocal compressor.
I didn't mean it like that, Sylvia. Call me. Sorry.
We know what you meant.
That's it. National Enquirer next week. Sylvia Brown sleeps with whole country.
No,
sorry, I didn't mean it like that.
But
she's worked with a lot of people.
She has. And she's, you know, the psychic to the stars and the rich and famous and stuff like that. So she's got something going on.
I saw her on Larry King, too.
I heard her on Art Bell. just like in December, just before Art Bell was, you know, he retired the end of December. So before he retired, he got Sylvia Brown on there, which is pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah, Sylvia Brown's been around for a number of years, too. It's great to listen to her talk. I actually got to see her. I saw her on Larry King when I was on vacation last year. And it was just fun to watch. I haven't listened to her talk in a long time, and she's a very uplifting person, if anything.
Oh, yeah.
She's a very uplifting, and she is a devout Christian, too.
Mm-hmm.
Very devout Christian. And she believes her gift comes from God. Her gift comes straight from God, and he's blessed her with this gift, and she just tries to give back. Which, you know, she's making a buttload of money on top of that, so I guess her life isn't too bad.
No.
But,
well, she wrote, like, 8 million books.
Yeah, so there you go. So. Royalties off that, royalties off this. She's making a lot of money, but yeah, definitely, she's somebody to check out. If you haven't heard of her yet, which if you're into the paranormal like we are, and you haven't heard of Sylvia Brown,
yeah,
there's
we haven't been looking.
Let's talk.
Yeah,
anybody else you got going on with?
Who else? Who else is famous? There's
John Edwards.
Oh, John Edwards. Oh my God. Well, first of all, yeah, it's John Edward. He doesn't have an S on the end of his name.
It just sounds better with Edwards.
Well, yeah, but that's somebody else. That's not John Edward the Psychic. John Edward the Psychic. I read his book that came out, it was November or December of last year, not of 2002, but of 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And I read that book, and I was enthralled. He talks about, in that book, he talks about the business of being a psychic medium. And evidently it's cutthroat.
Well, I can imagine.
I mean, really,
being a medium, he has his show. And what is that show supposed to do to you? It's supposed to entertain you.
Well,
there's people that are there trying to find something out, and they're trying to learn, which is, yeah, that's all there, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for the rest of us sitting out and we're in TV land, and we're being entertained by watching this gentleman perform these feats with his mind that are just, well, wow, how do you figure that one out?
Yeah, it's amazing stuff. I really like his show, and I like what he does. But he said before he had the show,
mm-hmm.
you know, he would have to travel the country and do, you know, radio talk shows. He'd have to do... he would rent, evidently they would have to rent those, you know, ballrooms or whatever they are in hotels and give, psychic talks and stuff like that and do that stuff throughout the country.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get taken for a ride because you might rent the hall for however much money and then only get a few people show up or people might get the dates and times wrong or the booking agent because evidently you go through you have to go through a booking agent of some kind to handle the tickets and the money. So they would set up an 800 number or something, and then people would call and order the tickets and pay for it. And then when they showed up, they'd have a list of people who were registered. So they'd have all that. Well, what would happen is the booking agents would get things messed up. Mm-hmm. I mean, just all these things would just happen, you know. And some of it was good, but a lot of it was bad.
Yeah.
And fantastic book. I thoroughly enjoyed that book. I wish I remembered what it was called.
That's just like, take it from someone firsthand who works in entertainment. That happens with everybody that's in that. Any type of entertainment field. Because some people just go there because they just get a kick out of it. They just want something to do and something to amuse themselves with. And that's just that part of that industry, you know, you're trying to attract people to come in there. Obviously, and I can just see where he's coming from. I haven't read the book personally, but I could see how cutthroat the business would be.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's all kinds of people out there.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of cutting throats.
Yeah.
You did post this up on Ghostly Talk's website about our, you know, your best friend and my nemesis, Miss Cleo.
Oh, okay. Famous people, Miss Cleo.
Yeah.
I posted that on the Ghostly Talk site, yes.
Yeah.
She came out and apologized to all the people who that business hurt.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, is she made very clear, and it's just as I had thought, she was, you know, not the business, even though they made it sound like, you know, she was the business.
Okay.
She was a hired hand. And so it hurt her as well.
I really hope that's the truth, because I mean, I don't really want to start slamming, but she's a victim now. That's what it's coming out. It's coming across as being she's a victim, just like everybody else.
And that's what I had thought all along. I mean, look how the business works. I mean, there's the suits in the office,
uh-huh.
and they're like, okay, what do we need? Well, we need, you know, phone lines. We need operators. We need we need to make commercials, infomercials,
okay.
and somebody to send along to do the interviews and stuff like that. A
yeah.
front person.
Yeah.
She was the front person, and she lent her character and her name. Well, her character's name
mm-hmm.
to that business, or sold it to that business,
mm-hmm.
and got hurt by it big time because
yeah.
of their business practices.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've discussed briefly about Miss Cleo. If anybody who's listened to the show for any amount of time,
yeah, she seems yeah. to be a recurring character.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, Doug's all about her. Doug,
I think
she's cool.
phenomenal.
But,
I just
the character just drove me nuts, man. The character just.
I thought it was believable. I mean, you know, it was just so, you know, it was.
Well, you come home plowed from the bar at 2:00 in the morning, and that commercial comes on. Yeah, I'm gonna call in right now.
Everything's going wrong in my life.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Let me help you. I can help you up. I mean, I just didn't do anything for me personally.
I liked it better than the psychic friends.
I mean, we've
so.
Psychics have been coming up a lot in this show in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I don't know why, but it's definitely.
But, I mean, one thing I've learned about psychics, though, is a lot of times, I mean, sure, your life may suck. I mean, honestly, your life may suck. And what I've gotten from a lot of the psychics, you know, just going, hey, look, you know, this is an issue I'm dealing with. What do you think? How should I approach this? Well, look, you know, and I'm not going to go into any details, but they really did bring me up at the end. I mean, they were a real pick-me-up. If I got anything out of it, it was just a pick-me-up. If that's what Miss Cleo could do for people, as just her character, that's great. I think that's really good, because a lot of people need that, especially in this day and age where you don't have time to sit down and contemplate on anything anymore.
Right.
And there's
all these issues coming at you.
Yeah.
No matter what, even if you sequester yourself in your house, issues will somehow come at you. And you've got, like, all these things to do all the time. And it's really bizarre. I tried to sequester myself in with the servers, you know, and yet I still kept having to go to work. I still kept having
yep.
to go out and do
yep.
stuff. And,
yep.
you know, and therefore one of the servers didn't get done. We're on the old server still this week. But
yeah.
next week I hope to be on the new server.
More tweaking.
Yeah,
done.
More
tell
wires.
You what, why don't we take a quick break? Because I know we got another hour to go now.
Yeah.
So, we're going to be right back in a second for the second hour.
Yeah, and write down 1-888-520-1969 and give us a call.
We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll talk to you soon.
On that phone thing,
yeah.
Well, I think I finally got it. I got one of them toll-free numbers for folks to call in with.
Oh, yeah, what's the number?
Well, it's 1-888-520-1969.
Tell me what this sounds. It's 1-888-520-1969.
That's it.
Excellent. Good work, though.
We'll
talk to you later.
Cool. Catch up.
All right.
Feel the love.
That is smooth. This is when the ghosts become.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
We're talking about, well, we talk about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we really cover a lot.
About Soul Job, about upcoming events this summer.
Yeah, and the phone line is for you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you call in. If you want to promo something like, you know, the Soul Job of people did for us, they promoted themselves. We want you to do that.
That's what it's for.
call in. If you got a cool website you may have going on.
Or if you got
a
thought about anything we're talking about.
Yeah, thought about anything. And it's wide open, except for making fun of us.
Yeah, that's not
that.
Allowed.
No name calling.
No.
Oh, God, now we're dead.
But
we're gonna hear words that we've never heard before.
But we've, I like having callers. I think it's good. I think it's definitely advances Ghostly Talk quite a bit.
Well, that's the whole reason we're going at 2 hours now, is we want to be able to just, like, take half the show and talk with people on the phone.
Right.
And we couldn't do that with an hour. It just wouldn't work.
And be prepared, because one of the questions we'll ask you tonight is, who is your famous parapsychology
favorite person?
Yeah.
Favorite person in history or whatnot.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Mine is Thomas Edison.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Because he wanted to build that.
He wanted to build
that machine.
I'm a machine kind of guy. And
yeah.
That was sweet. That was like, I love his whole story. We do want to talk about.
Yeah, we got a creepy thing for you. This creepy thing here.
This is like, if you've read any books, this has probably popped up. London is. I mean, if you haven't heard of any ghost stories from London, go home. Go home. We're not no. Because London is chock full of ghost stories.
Oh yes.
Haunted locations, you name it, man. Everything around. I think that whole country's haunted, honestly. Because I mean, all the stories you hear from there, it's just one gigantic haunted house.
Yeah.
But there are some really amazing stories there. I mean, God.
Well, okay, before we get into this amazing story, the one thing that really gets me every single time I hear it, on Zero Point Radio, you know, they had Encounters with Lone Feather.
Yeah.
He had done a segment that they played on Lou Gentili, and he played on Encounters.
Yeah.
Of what's that... the Enfield poltergeist?
Yeah.
I think
it
was.
Interesting story. I actually looked into that after I saw he was doing a show on that.
Yeah. That was way, I mean, it chills me. That and the Annabelle doll or whatever it is.
He did
that series on that segment on the Annabelle doll that just absolutely drives me up a wall because he's got that music in the background. And and of course, when Lone talks, it's like, so, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's just,
Lone's got that killer
He's
radio.
Got that
He's got
voice.
That. We got these wimpy voices
yeah.
that we try to push out into a unidirectional mic. But Lone Feather, he's like a radio dude.
Yeah.
He knows his stuff.
Well, he's been doing radio radio kinds of things for a long time.
Yeah.
So it was just a natural progression.
Plus, he's a rocker, too, so he gets points for that.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
He's a rocker, so he gets points from Scott L. for that. that's awesome.
So. All right, Enfield Poltergeist, that's not what we're talking about this half hour. We are talking about what?
The Berkeley Square Horror.
Yes, 50 Berkeley Square.
50 Berkeley Square, okay. Now, you're going to know, horror? What are you talking about? We're ghost hunting. We don't get scared. Well, you know what? When I'm done telling you about this, this is another one of those stories. I mean, this is like such a nostalgic show for me, honestly. Because, I mean, I remember reading this story a couple times when I was a kid, and this thing just scared the pants off me, too. Just being a little kid, you know, I'm an old man now, so I can kind of handle it, I guess, better. But
no,
this,
we're middle-aged or something, aren't we? Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Think young.
Think young.
I'm still 27, yeah.
Well, I'm 27.
I've been 27 for 8 or 9 years.
Yeah. My birthday's in February, though, so PayPal, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get the page going pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
The PayPal
set
up. I want presents.
Send your birthday presents, too. Yeah.
And money, that'll work.
Oh,
I'm all about the money. The Berkeley Square Horror.
Yes.
All right. What's this all about? Okay, well, we'll tell you. Berkeley Square was a very fashionable place at the time. Okay, this is Berkeley Square in London, okay? Many well-known and wealthy people have lived there. Number 50, which is the address we're talking about, was once the home of George Canning. He later became Prime Minister of England. So this is like, we're talking royalty here, man.
Well, Prime Minister is royalty.
Well, you know, hey, it's royalty to me because I don't know anything about that.
He needs to interact with the royalty, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then, okay.
Well,
he's talking, he's hanging, he's in the scene, he's there.
Yeah,
you know?
We're talking important people. Prime Minister is like the president kind of dude.
Okay, so this house is like, let's just put it this way, this house is probably one of the most active in the world. Which we said that, this is active in the world, and this is really active. This place... This is violent, okay? We talked about last hour about poltergeists and how we want to break the impression of, you know, the movie, which is great to see, but a true poltergeist, I mean, it does some wild stuff, and there's been a lot of documented cases, such as we talked about the Bell Witch, which I really think that would be a type of poltergeist activity myself. We did a whole show on the Bell Witch.
Well, the Bell Witch is poltergeist-like, but she was different as well.
She interacted so much.
She interacted with more people than... You know, throughout the entire town, so it was like a little bit more than a poltergeist kind of thing. Plus, they don't they she's like the only person who's like actually like actively tried to kill someone, and she tried to kill.
Well, she greased the one dude. I thought
yeah.
She did. She said she greased. She yeah, Mr. Oh my God, John. No, it's not John Adams.
No,
John
President Adams.
President Adams.
No, Adams, Tennessee is where she is. Yeah, or was. But
I
don't
have so much room in my head for so much information, so give me a break.
Yeah, well, wait till we go to Cape Fest this year, and then we'll be like all about the you know, Cape.
Okay. Well, this. Okay, we're gonna fast forward to the 1860s of this house. Okay.
Okay.
This house at that time was occupied by a gentleman named Mr. Myers. That's all people knew about this guy. He was a very odd man. He lived alone, and he would never let any strangers into this particular house, 50 Berkeley Square. He slept most of the day, and at nighttime, he wandered the house with a candle. They'd see him walking around the house with a candle in his hand, right?
Well, that's not odd. That's what I do.
Okay.
Oh, well.
All right.
Don't come in.
Now, the story behind Mr. Myers... you did it to me, right? And I come over here to go do the show, and he's got a candle in his hand at the door going, Scott, I don't want you coming in.
Don't come in. Not yet.
No. But the story behind Mr. Myers was that he bought this house, dumped a ton of money into it, and furnished it for his bride-to-be, his fiancé. Well, guess what she does? The last minute, she dumps him. She says, no, I don't want to marry you. So what does that do? I mean, guys.
Yeah, that's just kind of mean.
That's kind of mean, man. That's kind of mean. Well, this pretty much sent this guy into a state of, how do I say, insanity. And the guy just stayed in the house. He was just a total freak. He didn't want to deal with anybody, okay? Another account, we're starting to lead into the actual paranormal side of this. Now, before we go into this anymore, I do want to say this particular house and this particular book I'm reading off of, which is The World's Most Famous Ghosts by Daniel Cohen, he didn't mention that the story that really grabbed me about this house was that there was two Navy men. I don't remember.
No, he does mention it.
Does he?
It's at the very end of that.
The very end?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to that.
Cool. Yeah, he does mention it, the two Navy people.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try to keep it simple, though. There's a ton of stuff. There's actually a lot more stuff that I knew of. But one of the theories they said, okay, there's a particular bedroom in the house, in the upstairs. And this is where the horror supposedly occurs, okay? Now, as far as the sightings go, it's varied. It's completely varied. Mr. Dupre, I guess he was French.
It sounds French to me.
Mr. Dupre, this particular gentleman... he lived in the house supposedly about 200 years ago. He was supposed to have kept his insane brother locked in the room, in this particular room we're talking about, in the top floor. The madman, his brother, was so violent, no one could get near him. Okay, he basically had to be fed through a slot in the door. He just couldn't go near this guy. It was like total, like, you know, Hannibal Lecter style, I guess. I don't know. He couldn't touch the guy. He would just freak out on you, okay? Another account of this house, say that the horror is not even human-looking at all. I mean... You know, you think of an apparition, you think of something that's more human.
Yeah,
kind of
human-looking.
It has been described as something slimy with many legs and tentacles.
Much like me when I wake up in the morning. Yeah.
So we're looking at a real pissed off octopus or something. I don't really know.
Octopus from hell.
According to one theory, the horror is not really a ghost at all. It is some unknown creature that lives in the sewers under Berkeley Square.
And it comes up into the house. Yeah.
Well, the thing they combat with this is they say, okay, if it comes up from the sewers, how's it find its way to the top floor of the house?
Right, and always terrorize people up there. This, by the way, is like a 4-story house. It's got the main floor and then 3 upper levels. And it's like a flat. It's like it's attached. There's like a house on the other side and a house on the other side. It's like the brownstones kind of thing in New York where everything's attached.
Yeah. Another thing, there's a lot of stuff about this house, man.
Yeah.
One rumor claimed that the house had once been owned by an unknown man. It was cared for by an elderly couple. The haunted room was always kept locked, and the old couple did not have a key to this room. Every 6 months, the unknown owner would appear. He would lock the old couple in the basement. Then he alone would enter the haunted room. He would stay in there for hours. What he did, no one knew, obviously, because the old people, they're locked up in the basement. Then he would relock the room, release the old people, and disappear for another 6 months.
Okay.
What the hell's going on there?
There's a weird story.
Yeah. One person who is said to have spent a night in the haunted room was Lord Littleton. He knew a great deal about ghosts. His family had a reputation of being the most haunted family in England. Haunted family. That's a new concept. I just thought about that for a second.
Well, they say that, like, you know, the Bell Witch and stuff haunts families.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still, he took two loaded guns with him for protection.
I don't blame him.
The next morning, he reported something jumped at him in the middle of the night. He fired a gun at it and heard it fall. But whatever it was vanished. Lord Littleton either could not or would not describe what he had what had been there in the room with him. Okay? Are you getting this, Doug?
So this is all in the same house, and it's freaky.
This is what I want to get. This is good stuff. Robert Warboys was not so lucky.
No.
He was said to be the first man to challenge the horror. I challenge you to a duel.
Not a good idea.
He did not believe in ghosts or slimy creatures or creepers, you know, creeping out of the gutters and sewers. He thought the whole horror business was simply nonsense. He bet the owner of the house that he could spend the night in the haunted room. The owner agreed, but on one condition. A group of men would stay downstairs all night. If Sir Robert was in danger, he would ring a bell twice. The men would then rush up and save him. Sounds safe to me.
Sounds good to me. I do.
Yeah, sure, why not? In the middle of the night, Sir Robert's bell rang frantically.
And so they run upstairs.
Yeah, the men run upstairs.
What'd they find?
They heard a shot. They heard a gunshot. Okay. When they opened the door to the haunted room, Sir Robert was already dead.
He didn't win the bet, did he?
No. His face was frozen in a look of terror. Okay.
That is freaky.
He died of fright. He said they say that he died of fright. The pistol was in his hand. Whatever it was he had fired at had gotten away. The house remained unoccupied for a long time. I want to get to the story about the two guys.
Right, there's because I read this just before the show, and I know it's in there, and it's the two Navy people,
okay.
The two Navy guys. They didn't have a place
okay,
to
here,
stay.
Yeah.
Okay,
cool. This was in 1887. Two sailors stumbled upon this particular house. They did not know it had an evil reputation. They had no money. So, and it was getting dark and cold, and they had no place to sleep. The empty house looked like a perfect refuge for the night.
Sure.
Sure, why not?
A little bit of B&E there for you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Most of the house was unfurnished. The only room which contained furniture was the haunted room. No one had dared take anything out of it.
Right, because it, you know, killed that.
Yeah, killed that
yeah,
one
killed
dude.
Yeah, killed that one
dude. Or little, that was, that was.
No, that was, Sir, what's his name?
Robert Warboys.
Yeah.
Poor
guy.
No one had dared take anything out of it. That is where the sailors decided to sleep. In the middle of the night, they heard noises. Something was crawling and creeping around the floor of the room. The candles went out. The men never did get a good look at the thing. One of the sailors tried to attack the horror with a curtain rod.
Oh, that'll get scared away.
Yeah.
That wouldn't even scare me away.
Now, the other man did the right thing. He was using his head. He ran out the door. He got the hell out of there.
That's
right.
Okay. Yeah.
He found a policeman down the street. He dragged the policeman back to number 50. The policeman said, "You haven't been in there? What's up with you?" I'm sure. Right. You guys have been in there, right? I think that's how you say it, right? Well, okay, guys, you're looking at me really mean right now. So,
I can't wait till you hear that on the archive.
At the foot of the stairs, inside, they found the other sailor. He was dead. His face, too, was frozen in an expression of terror. He had died of fright.
There you go. The house killed two people. Well, the horror killed two people.
The horror. We don't know exactly what it is.
Now, of course, it's a pretty famous story. It's also it was more famous even, you know, back then.
Uh-huh.
What happens is though they ended up turning it into a bookstore.
Yeah.
And since then there has been no activity, no horror. What is that? We're getting a phone call, but not on the.
Sorry, that's my voicemail on my pimp phone.
Yeah. Oh.
Sorry about that. I haven't diffused that sound yet. I apologize.
I see.
To all you
got
wonderful listeners.
Got a voicemail.
Oh, yeah,
so anyway, they made it into a bookstore. There's been no ghostly activity or horror activity, but people still, like, you know, go like to go to that place. The room, the haunted room or the room of the horror,
yeah,
is, I guess, the accounting office.
Sorry about that, guys. Yeah,
man.
Yeah,
is the accounting office of the bookstore.
But that story right there.
Yeah.
That was one of those stories. I mean, it's your typical. I mean, it's unfortunately that story. It really fits in with a lot of cliches we got with you know, the whole field of ghost hunting. You know, people, you hunt ghosts. You go out busting ghosts. Well, yeah. But you know, generally it can be a kind of a boring thing. Sometimes we don't have things creeping at us and trying to kill us. Unfortunately.
Right.
Well, I should say fortunately.
Well, not unfortunately. Yeah, fortunately.
Well, yeah, there's some nights I can use a little action. You know. There's
sometimes
somebody I can use a little action out there. I mean,
sometimes it's just snap picture, snap picture, snap picture. Take EVP, snap picture, and then you go home and you look at it all.
Yeah.
But, although there's a lot of laughs when you go stunt.
Yeah. But, I mean, this particular phenomenon, we don't know where it is. I remember seeing an actual picture somebody drew of the whore when I was a kid. And all I can remember is that it looked like, anybody watch South Park, Mr. Towel?
Oh, God.
Is it Mr. Towel?
Yeah.
Hey, you want to smoke some weed? I think that's the guy, right? Or who's that other guy, the new one? Oh, God, it's stupid. SpongeBob. Is his name SpongeBob?
Well, there's a SpongeBob in SquarePants, but that's a kid's show.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what this thing looked like. That's what its face
oh,
looked like.
Oh, really?
It was a square face. It was very flat. And it was just very just flat, and it had a square kind of face. That's what this person said they saw.
Oh, wow.
Another person. Actually, I think that's the book I read, the sailor who did get away, that's what he described
that
thing as.
Wow.
But, I mean, really, we talked about the Bell Witch, comparatively speaking, and that, you know, she said that she killed.
Right.
She killed a man.
Yeah. John. The
John.
The
yeah,
head of the family.
John,
yeah.
Head of the family. Really, I mean, I don't want to use it. No, I'm not going to use that as a comparison. But, I mean, ghost hunting, it really isn't revered to as a deadly, you know, hobby to have. That's why these stories like this we hear, it's like,
they really,
what's up with that?
Yeah, they really creep me out.
Yeah, and that's like horror. I mean, that could be the plot for a horror movie right there. Some creepy house with some weird square face thing chasing you around trying to kill you. And you're beating them with curtain rods. I mean,
I wouldn't even be scared of a curtain rod. I mean,
no.
Except for maybe some of them heavy oak, you know, curtain rods.
Well, the real nice ones, you know. I don't think anything you get at Bed Bath & Beyond is going to really do it for you.
These cheap ones like we have in you know, around here, just those little tin things that bend anyway.
But some other theories, though. I know we can think of a couple. What the heck would that thing be?
Well,
had it just been someone who busted in the house that wanted to take these guys out and take their money? Well, they didn't have any money, but he didn't know that.
Yeah, well, suddenly you're asking me to pull a true ghostly talk and actually come up with a theory, right?
Well, yeah, I'm doing
here's
it
one for you. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay. You know how the dimensions work?
Yeah.
There's dimensions, and one of the theories is that ghosts and demons and stuff like that can sometimes move between the dimensions.
Yeah.
And there's even times of the year like All Hallows Eve and Halloween and stuff there's a thinner border between the dimensions and it's easier to go back and forth.
Yeah.
Perhaps that's a place or was a place where you know, things from other dimensions could slip in and out of our reality.
Okay.
So of course that happened to be attached to a dimension that was full of horrible things.
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, from the story itself.
It sounds like it.
It sounds like whoever would pop through there. Now, could it have been possibly the spirit of the crazy guy?
Well, I mean, you know, that's a good question, because when a ghost comes back, or when, you know, when something comes back,
hypothetically,
you know, into our reality, would it have to look like it looked when it was physical?
Who knows? I mean, could it take on? Well,
because when you see pictures of ghosts on the internet and stuff, you see, you know, usually a human kind of form, or you see those orbs, and sometimes the mists and ectoplasm and stuff like that. So what form does it have to take? Does it have to try and coalesce into its former form, or could it coalesce into a devil-looking form or an octopus-looking form? Or,
well, that's what really got me. It's like, this thing isn't a ghost. It's a damn mutation that's coming out of the sewers.
Right. That's what they... Yeah, that's even one of the things they thought. So it could... You know, maybe it was a demon. Why not?
Yeah. This thing physically attacked people. Nobody knows how, well, obviously the method of attack or killing was to scare him to death.
Yeah.
I mean, and I remember the face that I saw. I mean, I really wish I could find this. I read it in an old book at the library. And this face, they're like, this is what the guy's impression of it was when he saw it. And, well, I'm being a kid. I'm going back to childhood again. I'm being a kid. I'm going, oh, good, it's creepy looking. I'm not going to sleep tonight, which I didn't.
Hey, Will, how much time do we have before the bottom of the hour? Because I want to get into something.
Uh-oh.
My pet peeve.
8 minutes.
8 minutes, fabulous. Okay, here we go. All right.
What did I do wrong?
Not you. One of my pet peeves is, okay, well, it's kind of related to this because it only happened when people were, or it seemed to only happen when people were up in that room sleeping, right?
Yeah.
Okay, there is this physical phenomenon called old hag.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a physical phenomenon. As you're sleeping, your body releases a chemical to try and lock up your muscles so that you don't, like, you know, actually enact your dreams in the physical world.
Mm.
So as you're dreaming, you're not actually running from vampires. You're not, you know, you're not actually... That, by the way, was a dream I had. I was running through the junior high from a vampire all night one night.
Junior high?
Yeah.
Your junior high school? Or
the one right
here?
The one right over here.
Right by the ghostly... No, the
yeah,
studios. Okay,
right by the studios. Anyway, right. They... I was running through the junior high away from a vampire. So, but fortunately, I, you know, am human and have these chemicals in my body that when I sleep stop me from actually running, right?
Mm.
And so, and picking up things and throwing it at, you know, your vampire that's following
you. Usually your whole room's trashed.
Yeah. Well, a couple times, but that was different. Yeah. But anyway, and what happens is if you wake up too soon before the chemical has, you know, been released or
yeah.
been, you know, not taking effect, you could get the feeling of, you know, not being able to move, first of all. You wake up and you cannot move.
Okay.
And you feel this pressure on your chest. I've never had this. Mm-hmm. I've never experienced old hag. But
yeah.
you get this pressure on your chest, a very, very intense, heavy pressure, like something is trying to squeeze you and keep you from breathing.
Okay.
And then you see, usually you'll see a form, a dark, shadowy form hovering over, and you get this feeling of being watched, and this form is coming at you, and it's coming to get you. But you're awake,
uh-huh.
okay? And, you know, by now you're awake, and you're terrified, and this form is coming at you, and it's usually what it's going to do is it's going to crawl up into your bed and try and sit on your chest, okay?
Yeah.
That's old. No. You don't want this kind of experience. This is old hag, and it's not a pleasant experience, and it's happened worldwide pretty much. What happens is, that's a, you know, I believe personally it's a physical thing that happens to people
uh-huh.
because you're human and you've got these you know chemicals that are released when you're sleeping and that to stop your motor reflexes from enacting your dreams. So you've got all that going on. This old hag, for some reason, and this is my pet peeve about old hag,
okay,
is for some reason there is this extremely famous talk show host on radio. Now he might broadcast on the internet too, but he talks mostly on the radio, on the real radios. Who people will call him up and describe classic old hag, and he'd be like, "You were visited. It sounds like you got a visit from a demon or something
or an
like
alien
that."
Or
like,
something.
Yeah, and I'm like, no, you had old hag. You know, I just don't understand why. So, you know, a famous talk show host is not, you know, saying it like it is. You know, it's like, okay, well, you know, you experienced old hag, you know, end of story.
Uh-huh.
But no, he's like, "You were visited." That is my pet peeve, is that this guy, well, one of my many.
You just
want to
beat this dude down, don't you?
Well, no, I mean, I'd love
to. He's clenching his fist right now. All right, just cool.
Yeah, this guy, right. I don't know, he should be a little more responsible in that one respect. All the other respects, I absolutely love this particular talk show host, who will remain nameless. I respect him. He's doing great work, et cetera, et cetera. He's getting good guests. He's informing the public, which,
uh-huh.
you know, of you know, paranormal topics.
Uh-huh.
Very important work. He's doing a great job, except whenever anybody calls up and describes classic old hag, he talks about, you know, "Ooh, you must have been visited."
Okay.
And another thing, Will lent me this book on vampires by Konstantinov, which was it took me 3 months to read it because
okay.
it's so inane. Okay, everybody loves this book. I talked with the lady at Felt Mansion. She's like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm reading this book on vampires. She's like, oh, Konstantinov? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, oh, what a good book. And I'm like, I don't understand these people. Even Will says, oh, it's a great book. It's a great book. It sucks. It's not a good book. I don't care. The whole book, 99% of the book, is telling you what he already said or what he will be saying. That's 99% of the book. If he would wipe out all the paragraphs to talk about what he already has talked about, you know, or what he will be talking about shortly or in another chapter,
yeah,
the book would be like 6 pages. But no, he talks, you know, he talks, it just goes on and on about what he's already talked about, what he hasn't talked about. Anyway, one of the things that Konstantinov puts forth is that, and he talks about, he says, old hag, you know, is this thing that happens. And he actually has done a lot of research. I mean, that book is, the information in the book is phenomenal.
Okay.
The presentation of the book sucks. But anyway, the
this
old
is how you really, feel, Doug.
This
I
is
mean,
how I feel.
Don't hold
yes,
anything in here tonight.
No, I'm going on. This is my pet peeve night.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, he talks about something called psychic vampirism, where you get this old hag feeling, but he's saying instead of it being old hag, there are times when it's, you know, an intentional or an unintentional psychic vampire coming and sucking out your life forces as opposed to your blood. I mean, you know, you think of vampires, you think of, you know, blood,
yeah.
You know, but no, he's talking about vampires who instead of taking your blood, take your life force or your life energies. And therefore, you know, sometimes you wake up more tired than you were when you went to bed, that kind of thing. So he's talking about that, and he says that old hag is how you experience that. Which,
okay.
Of course, I do not believe one bit.
Well, thanks. I'm not getting a wink of sleep tonight.
No, you can be safe. unless you, you know, if you wake up with old hag, just think, oh, okay. I'm
going to sleep with the dogs
hag.
Tonight, so if any vampire comes in there,
they'll just rip the
midnight
shred.
Midnight and
yeah.
Bear is going to tear him up. There's going to be a dead vampire on my floor. I'm going to wake up and step over his body and go to work.
Yeah. But
that's
no.
A very interesting phenomenon, though. I mean, a way to look at it is far, but I mean.
But so. Why did I talk about all these things, okay, about old hag, about, you know, psychic vampirism,
uh-huh.
About, you know, that one talk show host? Because it sort of fits in with this 50 Berkeley Square.
Okay.
What if, because it only happened when they were sleeping.
Okay.
And they were, or at least resting in that room. So, you know, why couldn't it have been some manifestation of old hag?
It could have been very well. And it's a very interesting theory to throw on top of that.
So, portal to hell or other dimension, or some kind of extremely violent old hag. There's my theories, my ghostly talk theories for the night. What do you think of that?
I'm tired, man. This 2 hour stuff is just killing me.
I'm enjoying it.
That was just a brutal discourse, like in an old hag. I don't think I've heard anybody go into it that much depth in, like, never. I've never heard it that much depth, honestly. I mean, I'm sitting here going, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Oh, my God. Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
I mean, I'm not sleeping tonight, man. What do you do that for?
He's like, I'm sure Doug's going to throw something at me next. No, I was on my chair screaming and raising my fists, but I was, you know, I'm still very, very into it.
Yeah.
You know, I it could have been something like that. Why not?
All right. Well, why don't we take a break?
1-888-520-1969 and talk to Doug and Scott L. about ghostly stuff.
Or old hags and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Question for you. What do you get when you put a woman who may or may not want a pet monkey, some heavy chains, a deck of tarot cards, a computer, and an astrological chart all in the same room?
Well, that's a really good question.
Besides a visit from PETA and a vacation in the sanitarium, you get resmerized.
You are in for some mighty big trouble.
She is Resmiranda. She glimpses us and our futures and tells all every week on Resmerized. Get Resmerized live around midnight every time a Monday turns into a Tuesday. Only Resmiranda can resmerize you, and you can only find Resmiranda on Zero Point Radio.
This is Resmiranda, and you have been resmerized.
Talk on Zero Point Radio. What are we going to talk about the next half hour? Oh, we're going to talk to callers. Yeah. We were talking about 50 Berkeley Square and all kinds of cool stuff. Now we're going to talk to callers. Do you feel better? I got up during that little break. You know, we did make our breaks longer, right? I mean, we put the bumpers in front and behind the breaks, and so we made them a little bit longer because that was one of the things with, you know, the old Ghostly Talk format was we never had enough break. We would get like 45 seconds or 32 seconds, and now we've got like a couple minutes. So I did get up, walk around a bit. I feel a lot better.
Yeah.
So I'm a lot
calmer. You went to the bathroom?
Now.
Just say it.
And I did that too. And
with the amount of Diet Pepsi that's consumed in this basement on a Sunday night. Okay, an hour, you know, we could get through an hour, you know, and hold it at worst case. But we're doing 2 hours now.
Yeah, so it's like get up, walk around, get some relief. Speaking of which, while we're talking a little bit, 1-888-520-1969, lines are open. That's from east of the Rockies, west of the Rockies, from Beetlejuice, you know, wherever you want. You pick up the phone, call that. Mm-hmm. If it's not busy, if it starts ringing,
Hang on, because you'll
be next. Yeah, if it's busy, though, that means we're either talking to someone or someone else is ringing the phone.
Yeah, unfortunately, we got one line, and we can't do much with it. So we're relieved, though. We're both relieved, finally.
So I don't have to, I don't have to get up and,
My legs were crossed there that last half an hour. I was like, man, this isn't going to happen. I got to get up and do something about this.
Yeah,
but 50 Berkeley Square, check it out, though. Go on the Internet. Uh-oh, we got a call here. There you go.
We'll see if someone's on.
Ghostly Talk.
Hi.
Oh, who's this?
Lisa.
I recognize that voice.
Oh, hey.
Hey, Lisa.
What's going on?
What's going on, Lisa?
Nothing. Just sitting around doing some research.
Okay.
Lisa is our research.
Well, she's for MichiganGhostBusters.com. She does, like, tons and tons of research all the time.
Okay.
I don't know how she does it. She comes up with stuff that has been, like, There are some legends here in Michigan, okay, that have been basically untouchable. And she has found people who will talk about them and give her details. So she is like the research specialist, you know, she's like the leading, the crown jewel of the research specialist.
Well, with MGB.
For anybody.
For the world.
Well, at least about Michigan stuff.
Okay, the world, though.
The world, yeah.
That'll scare people.
Thanks.
You do awesome work, Lisa.
Yeah,
what's up?
What's going on?
What?
What'd you think about that last half an hour? You heard the story.
Oh, I loved it.
What do you think it is?
I loved it.
Well, you loved it, but what do you think it is? I mean, what is your theory on
it?
I want to hear what you think.
Yeah, the monster in 50 Berkeley Square. What do you think it is?
Oh, we put Lisa on the spot.
Yeah, you put me on the spot.
Well, I just wanted to call and say hi, guys.
No, I just wanted to say hi, really. No. Do you have any theories?
Actually, from when I was reading the story, I believe everything it says and exactly what it is.
Exactly where it is.
Yep.
As in what, a monster with tentacles or an actual maybe spirit?
A spirit.
Or old hag.
I don't believe that old hag theory.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
All right, well, you know, you and Doug are on your own with this, and I'm just going to back up the mic.
No, that's okay.
You guys can duke it out here for the last half an hour of ghostly talk.
Wait, do you mean you don't think that that particular thing is old hag?
No.
Okay.
No.
Cool.
No.
Well, I can go with that. I mean,
I just think it's your adrenaline rushing when you're sleeping, and you wake up with that adrenaline.
Oh, so you're thinking old hag itself is not a paranormal thing.
No.
You think it's a physical thing.
Mm-hmm.
I do, too. And so you don't think that old hag is perhaps psychic vampirism of some kind?
No.
Okay. That goes along with my theory.
Well, I'm glad you two agree.
Yeah, we agree. So, all right, and the other question that we're asking tonight that I forgot to ask Mark.
Okay.
Who is, when you think of famous people in the parapsychology world, who's your famous person?
Sylvia Brown.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Does she rock, or is she like, what do you think?
I love her to death. Every time I know she's on, I watch her, I've listened to her, everything.
Cool. She's one of the things that she said the last time I heard her, which was on the Art Bell Show, was, she cannot see beyond some year, like 2015 or something. I don't know, some year and, you know, coming up.
It's 2017, I think.
2017. She can't see beyond that, which is kind of scary. So yeah, I was
2017.
Yeah, she can't predict beyond that. For some reason, all of a sudden, everything's blocked after that.
2017. That'll make me 38.
I'll be 27 again that year.
I'll be 42.
Yeah.
27, Doug.
Again, you know, that'll be my, like, 15th year in a row or something that I'll be 27. But, yeah, she can't see beyond that. So that like, I listened to her and I was, like, enthralled with that because that's, like, not normal for her.
Right.
So that's, like, really spooky. Kind of freaks me out. That, the end of the Mayan calendar is coming up.
We're all going to die.
Oh, yeah. let's do a conspiracy show next. Speaking of next is WSRS with Art and Rob.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so they talk conspiracy and stuff, so we'll have to listen to that.
Okay.
On Zero Point Radio.
Well, Lisa.
Yeah.
Let's see what you got you on the phone here.
I'm so glad
we're still working this phone thing out. You know?
Yeah.
Right?
Anyway.
Hey, this phone thing is cool.
Yeah.
You like it?
I keep typing to you guys.
Oh. Oh no! That's when we all look over at the computer.
Mike,
what
Mike?
Should they know? Yeah,
we'll definitely keep in touch on that.
On what?
As far as all the research goes.
Oh yeah, we need to
because we have to be informed. That's what Lisa's job is, to keep us informed.
I just added 5 more tonight.
Cool.
So yeah, I mean, if you want to view any of this stuff too, you can easily go to www.michiganghostbusters.com.
Yep.
And go to the forums. Well, you can't. No.
No, that's a private. The
that's the ultra. That's,
private
that's the ultra ninja forum there.
Yeah, and then.
Well, then you know what? Scratch that last like 10 seconds of your life right there. You didn't hear what I said at all.
But Lisa, I have a question for you. You guys were out ghost hunting last night, right?
Yeah.
Besides being in the bitter cold weather, the last thing that I heard you guys were going to do was go to Trowbridge.
Yes, we did go there.
And how was it?
Very intriguing.
Yeah?
It's just interesting to see this bridge inside of multi-million dollar homes.
Right. This is in, what, Bloomfield or West Bloomfield or something?
Bloomfield Hills. Michigan.
Yeah. Another one of them Bloomfield things. And they're, you know, rich, rich area. And there's this legend of the bridge. Well, what's the legend of the bridge?
The legend of the bridge is a bunch of teenagers committed suicide by jumping off the bridge onto the railroad tracks.
And before they would jump, they would spray paint some kind of memorabilia about themselves jump into the railroad tracks.
A ton of names.
Yeah.
Bridge, you can clearly see the names. I couldn't read any of what they were saying underneath.
There's probably some horrible goth poetry or something like that. My life is worthless. I can't do anything.
Fenced up over the bridge now, so you can't really, you know, try to hop over it if you want to kill yourself now. It's like a 6 to 8 foot bridge, or fences over the bridge. But it is very intriguing out there, but it was very cold.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we talked about the weather earlier in the show here, and it's like, what is it? Well, I can feel the hairs inside my nose right now freezing because we still have the window open.
We have the window open, yeah.
And it's it's weird.
Yeah, it was I think it was -3 or something wind chill last night, and you guys were out and about.
I know the temperature reading in my truck said it was 15.
Ugh.
Degrees Fahrenheit. We're on Fahrenheit, you guys. So because 15 Celsius would be, you know, fairly nice.
Yeah.
You know,
there's one thing about ghost hunting that I think we may have talked about this, especially this time of year. When you're out there and you're taking pictures, you're taking audio, you have a flashlight, you're doing whatever. You know, about maybe halfway to a quarter of the way through the night, you start to think about your bed a lot. And how warm and comfortable it is. I mean, I do, where I'm like, you know, I'm having a good old time out here, but, God.
If I were at home, I could
sweet,
be curled up
sheets.
In bed with a, yeah.
Just warm bed. And when you do get home,
blanket.
I mean, I can honestly say, some of the hunts I've been on with MGB, I mean, these are grueling exercises and, how would you say, endurance, okay?
Yeah. All night.
All night long, I get home and it's like, I don't even get my clothes off half the time. I wake up with the same clothes on I had on the day before, going, what the heck happened to me? I didn't have anything to drink last night. What's going on?
Yeah, it gets like that.
Yeah.
Because the MGB hunts are endurance tests.
Yeah, so.
I have a comment for you on that. You'd be much warmer if you didn't wear shorts.
Oh. And here comes, yeah. Okay, so you get the official insult. You're like the first insult. How would I say it? That insult?
That's not an insult. It's an observation.
Observation?
Yeah.
I think it's an insult, though.
Oh,
I like my shorts. I know.
It's
what? I agree.
15 degrees Fahrenheit.
No, last night,
wind chill.
Last night we were standing in a parking lot of Big Voice. I did lose feeling in my fingertips for a few minutes there. So, yeah, I mean, but as far as my legs go, I mean, for those of you who don't know, I tend to wear shorts like all year round. I like shorts. I don't know what the trip is with that, but I like my shorts.
I think, though, when we went to Reynolds Cemetery on...
I froze salad that night.
Yeah, that was...
But I kept them on, though. I mean...
Well,
never mind,
of course
never
you
mind.
Kept them on.
No, the reason was...
Did
I,
you change into...
No,
because
I had my sweatsuit. I had my, Ultra Ninja, ghost hunting sweatsuit ready to go.
Yeah.
It was on hand in the trunk of the Malibu, and I just said, you know what, I'm going with it. I mean, I'm frozen solid as it is. It isn't going to matter if I put these things on now.
That's
I'm going
to
keep the cold in by doing that.
Yeah, that's true.
So, no, I guess you are right, Lisa. You get the first observation of the show. I won't call it an insult. You get the first observation. You busted my chops. Congratulations.
Woo.
Anything else for us tonight, Lisa?
No, that's it. I am going to get out here, though, so I can go finish my write-ups for research tonight.
Excellent.
Awesome.
We will talk to you soon, Lisa. Thanks for calling in. Call in at any time you'd like, Lisa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Thank you on the internet.
Well,
totally cool.
Totally.
That was, yeah, that's Lisa from MGB.
And she doesn't mess around when it comes to research.
No, she doesn't. She is the gem in MGB's cap.
You know, while,
I
we, got a,
you
while
put
we got a second
gems
here.
In your caps, yeah.
While we got a second here, I was going through this book again that I pulled, you know, I was citing off of for the 50 Berkeley Square story.
Yeah.
Had. Here's the title of one for you.
Okay.
Screaming Skulls.
Screaming Skulls.
Screaming Skulls.
Have I heard the story
straight
before?
Out of Slayer album, man. Screaming Skulls.
Okay.
All right. I'm just going to do a real high level on this, and you just tell me what you think. Because this is actually, I was kind of, you know, scanning it real quick. There's several Screaming Skulls in England. God, England, imagine that. More hauntings in England, okay? These are real skulls. They have the reputation of making loud noises or becoming troublesome in other ways if they are moved. So don't move a skull in England. If you find a skull in England, I don't care where it's at.
Leave it there.
Leave it there. The best known of these is the Screaming Skull of Bediscombe Manor. I pronounced it right. Don't look at me like that. Bediscombe Manor is a large farmhouse in the county of Dorset. The skull is usually kept in a cardboard box stored in a drawer. Okay. According to the local legend, the skull is that of a black slave. The slave was thought... To Bediscombe, he was brought to Bediscombe in the 18th century. He was promised that on his death, his body would be returned to Africa for burial. The slave told his master that if the promise was not carried out, a curse would fall upon Bediscombe Manor. When the slave did die, the promise was forgotten. Uh-oh. His body was buried in a local churchyard not far from the house. Almost at once, people began hearing roars and screams from the tomb. The local people began to object. Object to what? The screaming and the groaning? They wanted to get the restless corpse out of the graveyard. Finally, the owner of Bediscombe Manor, had the body dug up. It was taken to the house and stored in a loft. Ew.
Okay, that's just ick.
Over the years, only the skull remained. No one is exactly sure why. In one version of the legend, the body was shipped to Africa or the West Indies for some reason. The skull was kept in England. Paperweight?
Why would you keep just the skull? That's just ick.
I don't know. There are many stories of what took place when someone tried to move the skull. Once it was thrown in a pond. That night, the house was so troubled by screams and noises that the skull had to be fished out.
Oh, my gosh.
When it was returned to the house, all was quiet again.
So it wanted to stay in the house?
Apparently, yeah. I must have been warm in there or something. Another time, the skull was buried in a hole 9 feet deep. Within 3 days, the skull had burrowed to the surface.
Oh, my gosh.
The owner of the house found it waiting to be taken back inside.
Sounds like some of the Ouija board stories you hear. You throw out a Ouija board, but it finds its way back to you somehow.
Okay, other ghostly tales are also attracted to the skull. According to one, on a particular night of the year, a phantom coach goes from Bediscombe Manor along a lonely road to the churchyard. Local people call it the funeral procession of the skull. What's up, man?
Oh, man.
Okay. Here's another piece for you. You'll get a kick out of this, too. In the 1960s, the writer Eric Marple spent a night in the house with the skull. I like doing that. It's pretty cool.
The skull.
He didn't hear any screaming, but he was badly troubled by nightmares. He refused to stay another night. The owners of the house weren't bothered by the skull. Of course, they didn't try to take it outside, either. Okay, we'll leave it at that.
Oh, my gosh.
The skull.
No wonder you had a traumatic childhood with these books.
That's an awesome story.
You got these wild books with all these weird tales. And,
yeah. Well, yeah. We talked about, I know we've talked about this before, antique shops.
Yeah.
Antique shops.
Oh, yeah.
I used to love going to antique shops until I met you guys. For the simple fact that, hey, you know what, man? You know, me and my mom love antiques. And now I hear there's a theory floating around in the world somewhere, or in the world of the paranormal, that, hey, man, if you buy a lamp, you know, an antique lamp from an antique store, the spirit of the person that owned that before, who may have died, might be in that lamp. And if you take that to your house could be haunted.
Well, it might be attached to the lamp.
Well,
yeah.
Part of the, you know, the attaching compass, whatever. But, okay, great.
So now you go and you look at this absolutely beautiful antique.
Yeah,
and you're
wonderful
like,
lamp.
But I wonder if the owner is still attached.
Yeah.
I see.
That bugs me.
So shop at IKEA instead. That's the
best
moral.
Best buy for all my needs. Yeah. No more. Nothing else. I'm buying everything brand new. I'm not even buying a used car. No, nothing I buy will be previously owned. Everything I buy is brand new. Champagne-based taste. Beer money. There
yeah,
you go.
That's the problem.
That's exactly what I'm going to have to deal with. That's the problem. But, I mean, going back to this story, though. Now, this isn't an antique by any means. It was a part of someone's body.
Yeah, which freaks
primarily
me out.
Primarily the skull, okay? And, well, they don't know why the skull remained the only thing in the house. But I think, I mean, as far as, you know, hypothetically speaking, this is very likely. As far as voodoo goes.
Ooh. Oh, I see, yeah.
And they're all about curses.
Oh, yeah.
They curse you for everything. So,
but voodoo wasn't, was that primarily like African? I thought that was more Jamaican than African.
Well, there's not enough detail in there really
well,
data back.
Yeah, it's an overview of the story.
I mean, the high level though, I mean, he said, please, you know, things have been bad enough for me already. Can you at least send me back to Africa when I die?
And they said, yes.
Yeah, no problem at all.
And then they didn't.
Bold-faced lie to the guy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if I was him, I'd probably make it a little hard on him, too, if I could. Yeah, just, you know, I mean, they said they were going to send him back.
And if it's possible.
I mean, I'm not saying that I believe the story, because that's pretty out there. That's pretty out there. Along with, I mean, the two stories we did read out of this book tonight, which, again, is The World's Most Famous Ghosts by Daniel Cohen. It's another one of those, like, type of, what is it, scholastic books. It's just, you know, it's
right,
it's the
ones for kids, for
yeah,
for
but these
teenagers.
Are some great stories. I mean, maybe it's more of an entertainment thing.
Well, I have to say, some of these that I've dug up out of some of these, you know, older books of mine and the ones that you remember, they've been phenomenal.
Yeah,
because,
really.
I mean, when I go to the bookstore, I don't usually look for this kind of book, the overview, you know, for kids kind of book.
Yeah.
I usually look for the really in-depth book with, like, you know, 700 pages or whatever, and pictures.
Well, what I think these would be really good for someone who's just starting out. Obviously, they're good for someone who's just starting out.
Oh, yeah.
Because it gives you the whole aerial view of what's going on out there. A lot of these books do that. And they tell you some of the crazy stories that have happened in the past or that are going on right now.
I'm amazed at how well written they are.
Yeah, but they give you a chance, though, to look at everything in a snapshot and maybe focus on what you are most interested in as far as the paranormal world goes. I mean, particularly within ghost hunting. I mean, you may be just interested primarily on cemeteries, possibly. That may grab you. Or houses, or gigantic buildings, as far as location goes.
Yeah.
Or you may be more interested in filming, for example. Just taking pictures. Or you just like taking audio. Audio is what gets you. You know, that gets you going. You like audio. But this could give you a good snapshot on everything that's going on out there. I mean, so a lot of the books are just like ghost stories. But there are high-level books out there that I have seen that are more or less for kids that give you just a snapshot, like I said, of, yeah, this is what's up. Take it for yourself. You do what you want to do with it now.
And then now, of course, with the Internet, you can take some of them stories and research more details.
I mean, I don't even know why we're talking about books right now, to be honest with you.
I just because they happen to crop up in our lives again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We thought it was interesting to talk about them. But, these stories we know are way out there. And this is about as way out as I think, well, aside from the Bell Witch show, I got to say, that was a pretty insane as far as the story went with the Bell Witch we broadcasted. But these two stories tonight that we pulled out, they're probably the most out there things we've ever broadcast, ever dared to broadcast on this show.
Yeah.
Or talk about it all and try to theorize on. I mean, the skull. We were talking about that a second ago, and I talked about the antiques. But, I mean, it does correlate in a small, hypothetical sort of way. So.
Oh, it all correlates together.
Yeah.
Somehow.
I mean, obviously, I mean, now, we haven't heard the screams.
No, but I'd love to get that on tape.
Oh, God.
If they could get that on tape and put it on the Internet, I'd be like, oh, I'd be all for it.
Yeah. I mean, this stuff's all out there for people to check out. I mean, you can look at these books if you want. The Internet, we tell you every week, we're just, like, pushing for the Internet. Like, just got, that's how I got back into this, you know,
yeah,
a couple years ago or whatever. And there, it's all out there, the most famous. If you just want to look at pictures, a lot of people just want to look at pictures. They don't want to get into it. Like,
well,
we've been
hitting about.com a lot lately.
Yeah.
Because at about.com, they've got just tons of, they've got a whole paranormal section.
Yeah, but unfortunately, along with that nice paranormal section, you get about 5,000 pop-ups, too.
Yeah, you get 1,000 pop-ups. And when you click on a link, it puts you in a jail of some kind, where with the about.com thing along the top.
Oh, yeah. It jails your browser.
Yeah. That I don't like about.com.
Yeah,
but I do like the stories and the writing and what they do on that.
Yeah, so if you're willing to put up with that, you can get some good information off about.com.
Great information.
But there are more stories like this out there. I mean, some people, I mean, like people like us, I mean, I like these crazy stories myself. They're pretty cool. But, I mean, when you really get into this and you start researching and you actually start going out in the field and doing this, you're going to find...
Most of the time it's boring.
No, I don't want to say boring. If you're with good people, like we are fortunate enough to be with, I mean, that's a good filler. You know, because when you're sitting there like, yeah, so what'd you do today? yeah, and you kid around, do whatever. But a lot of times, like you say, it can tend to be a kind of slow-moving thing, and especially if the weather is like it is right now here in Michigan.
Brr,
exactly. You're going to freeze solid. But if this kind of stuff is what you like,
yeah.
Go to England. You're not going to find anything like that here. I mean, unless you want to go to Adams, Tennessee and try to find the Bell Witch. It's totally up to you.
I heard she moved down to Louisiana anyway. So.
Oh, she moved, huh?
Yeah.
Who's her realtor?
I don't know. She moved, though. And,
what a hell of a client. You know? There you go.
Goes back and forth. So.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Waiting for a caller?
Apparently, I guess we are.
Okay.
Hey, we did 2 hours here, man. This is like, I think this show went pretty good for 2 hours.
Oh, I love it. Well, how long do we have? Because I don't know if I want to start a whole new topic. If 3 minutes, then I don't want to start a whole new topic.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Well, let's run with what we had before, then.
No, what I want to talk about, what I want to talk about is first I want, hey, Will, so Will's our, you know, he's like on the keyboards. I'm asking Will, can you ask RFB if WSRS is live tonight? Because if it is, that's what we're doing next. We will be listening to Art and Rob on WSRS, the Weird Shit Radio Show, on Zero Point Radio.
Whoa!
I know.
Did you say the S word?
I said the S word.
Will, he said the S word, man.
Because
on the air?
On the air.
That's going to be, everybody's going to hear you.
Well, that's only because it's the title of a show.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. You've been waiting all night to say that. Just admit it. You've been waiting all night. I can't wait to tell
you. And then, of course, that immediately follows Ghostly Talk. Because we're from 7 till 9 on Sunday. And then there's 9 o'clock is when WSRS starts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's live? Cool. All
right.
Yeah, we'll be listening to WSRS next with our
fun show. Fun show.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And they're from, you know, we're in the haunted basement. They are in the underground bunker in Canada. So, whoa.
Yeah.
And then, unless
these quirky little titles for our little basement studios we have here on the internet.
Awesome. And then there's, of course, on Monday night is, Monday nights, it used to be around midnight.
Uh-huh.
Was Resmerized.
Yeah,
now it's a little bit after that. It's like 1 o'clock, Monday night / Tuesday morning, because I guess officially at 1 a.m. it's Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
But she does Resmerized. Res Miranda does Resmerized live.
Uh-huh.
And then after that is Crumbs from the Cosmic Cookie.
Which is a phenomenal.
That's Rich's show.
Phenomenal show.
Oh, my God.
I am so impressed with that show.
Oh, yeah.
Blew me away.
And he's like, nah, you know, why do a show? But I guess Rez got him hooked up. It's like, you know, no, you gotta do a show. So he got all energized and he does Crumbs from the Cosmic Cookie.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on Zero Point. There's all kinds of cool, I mean, if you don't like Ghostly Talk, if you don't like what's going on here,
well,
you can always...
There's also the big stuff, too.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's, of course, they do Lou Gentili.
Uh-huh.
They carry Lou Gentili and Rob McConnell's X-Zone and... Is that it? Are we out of time? We're out of time. We did 2 hours.
Go.
How come now all of a sudden it feels like it was like 15 minutes?
I don't know.
I know.
I don't know.
Time warp.
Give us your feedback. 1-888 next week.
Next week, call.
1-888-520-1969. I had to do that. Sorry.
Cool.
Check us out. We'll talk to you guys next week. Hope you enjoyed the show and have a good week.
True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.